What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skew Year. That's right. Not just any Skews Day. The first Skews Day of the Year of Our Fake Lord, 2026. January 6th, to be exact. We're recording this on Monday, January 5th at about 1:30 p.m. on the left coast. Not much going on in the world in 2026. Promises to be a quiet year. I think we can all agree. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How's it going, Mark?
Yeah, man, we talked about Venezuela, of course, today, but someone also attempted regime change here in the United States by breaking the windows to J.D. Vance's house with a hammer. Did you see that story?
I did, yeah. Can't believe that didn't work out.
No, it's not even clear. Like, the way the right-wing ecosphere is acting like it was an assassination attempt or something, but I haven't seen it reported that he knew whose house the windows were on, he was breaking.
Yeah. He could have just been breaking windows on a house for your more standard hammer window house reasons, you know. Not total coincidence that those windows belong to the vice president.
Yeah, I met with a buddy of mine from high school who was in town a couple of days ago. His wife was remembering a party we were all at one time where people started headbutting each other, and I guess my buddy John broke my then-now brother-in-law's nose by headbutting him because he was taller. And she was like, do guys just headbutt each other? And I'm like, why not? Yeah. it's like, why wouldn't you headbutt? Like, anyway, breaking windows fucking rocks. Why wouldn't you break a window? Like, it's like, unless you get in trouble, which he did, so... Anyway, my dad's MAGA second cousin or whatever was going crazy about it being a Democrat conspiracy because this kid with a rat tail who's obviously just got a drug problem broke a window. So it's like he's probably like he's gonna be a colonel in Antifa by this time tomorrow,
right?
As Drew said. Before we get to the real show, I wanted to mention this. Here's a fun story. I saw this is I got upvoted on Reddit. This guy said he's pawn shop grandpa's pawn and gun in Larchmont, Colorado. Was going out of business, and he hung a sign in front of his thing and said forced out of business after 32 years because of politics. I'm like, well, what kind of politics does he mean, and what's the real story here? Because it was like going viral. It turns out to be more fun than I could have possibly imagined. What do you say is politics is like? They're redesigning some highway interfaces to make some parking lots different. And he apparently thinks it's going to cause traffic problems, so it's going to force him out of business, he says. But he's blaming it on Joe Biden?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, you said it was a gun store, and then, so when a sign on the front of a gun store says, after 32 years, I'm out of business because of politics, immediately you're like, well, that's weird, because... I imagine you're pretty okay with the current regime or whatever, but, mm-hmm. I guess just any bullshit afflicting this guy, goes back to Joe Biden. It wasn't all that long ago.
So it's something part of the city's Quiet Zone Safety Improvement Program, impacting 14 existing railroad crossings across Longmont, Colorado, in coordination with the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. So they you got federal, state regulations or whatever, trying to make the road safer. And this guy's like, this is obviously because I sell guns. In Longmont, Colorado. Anyway, the real story is even more fun than this. Turns out he lost $250,000 a couple years ago to a scamster by a guy who got sentenced to prison for fraud. Let me quote here from the story. A superior man has been convicted of securities fraud after convincing the owner of Grandpa's Pawn and Gun in Longmont to invest $250,000 in a series of books described by one juror in the case as a Western-themed version of 50 Shades of Grey for outdoorsmen. Yeah. He lost his life savings on horny cowboy books, and he thinks he's been put out of business because of woke.
To be fair to him, I could see how someone could be led to believe that that's a can't miss opportunity. You know what I mean? Horny cowboy books. I mean, at least a niche. I don't know if that niche amounts to more than $250,000, but I could totally buy that. That's a at least a somewhat lucrative niche as far as like erotica goes. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we're talking gay cowboy stuff. Probably not for this grandpa. Nah. But, you get into that's where he messed up, really. If it had been gay cowboy erotica, I think he might have been all right with that investment. But, he wasn't, if you got to be a monkey, be a gorilla, Papaw. He didn't take it far enough.
I mean, like we read here. Fortunately for us, they made the jurors, I guess, read the book or let them. I'm not sure which, but this guy, the juror who served the case, wrote a recap of the trial. The book, it was called Scoundrel, was a quote, a banal mix of James Bond, Matthew Quigley, and Jack Reacher, who travels the world and battles a litany of cliche villains and would indiscriminately make love to wanton women along the frontier when he wasn't hunting or fishing. So I got to say, I'll read it.
Yeah. Again, you know, hire Taylor Sheridan to adapt that to TV or whatever. Yeah, you'll get to put it on Paramount Plus. The Papaw's a lineup, dude. I'm saying.
Yeah.
And in the right hands, I feel like that concept's got legs. But, you know.
Get Alan Ritson involved, buddy. I'll watch it. Come on.
All right. Well, this is Weekly Skews, the first of the new year. Producer Matt's back there doing his thing. Before we go on, I want to remind y'all, of course, still got the same announcements. First up, if you want to see me do stand-up live and in person, yeah, I'm still doing that. We're getting started in 2026 in Sacramento, California this weekend. I got a bunch of other dates coming up after that, all of which you can find at TreyCrowder.com. MyName.com, TreyCrowder.com for all my upcoming tour dates. If you would like a little bit of a palate cleanser, you can also check out producer Matt's audio exclusive, Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. Put a smile on your face. That's what producer Matt does. Check that out. And if you want to support this show and get some more of it, you can consider signing up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and type in my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes, including periodic Q&As where we answer your burning questions. So that's it for the plugs. Now for the show. We're going to be talking about the whole regime, lack of change, and the invasion and weird stuff. And are we at war and what's happening? God only knows. But we start all that, as we always do, with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, who else? Nicolas Maduro, for not knowing that doing dances on TikTok would be the final straw.
So you're peace, and no war. All right. So if you're wondering, this apparently was literally the last straw. This is according to reporting in both the New York Times and Washington Post. Quote, it was one dance move too many for Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro. In late December, he rejected an ultimatum from Trump to leave office and go on a gilded exile, in Turkey. And then this week he was back on stage brushing off the latest U.S. escalation, which is a strike on a dock the U.S. said was used for drug trafficking, bouncing to an electric beat on state television while his recorded voice repeated in English, no crazy war. The White House apparently thought this was him mocking them, which he kind of was.
I was going to say, did Trump hate this because it's like they're, you know, there's only room enough for one, like, fucking dancing old buffoon on the global the global geopolitical stage? Because at first I was like, what is this? And then I remember, then I was like, wait a minute, Trump does that all the time. I mean he's not quite as spry, but you know, we know the double dick dance moves and stuff, but he dances all the time fucking. So he's just jealous, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't thought about that, but yeah, he should have done the YMC day. If you're going to go out, man, go, like you said. If you're going to be a monkey, be a gorilla, right? So, but all this talk, you try to figure out foreign policy and geopolitics and all this stuff, and it was always going to be the dumbest shit that was the reason they were going to move forward with it. It wasn't even like in the end, it wasn't even the drug shit. Now they charged him with drugs, but they haven't brought up drugs since they did it. Let me quote here from a few things. After it happened, Trump said, "quote I watched it literally like you were watching a TV show." It was an amazing thing. He got to sit in a little makeshift situation room in Mar-a-Lago and watch the guns go boom, boom. Mm-hmm. He brought it up again that he confused political asylum with insane asylums. He still thinks Venezuela's emptying out insane asylums and send them to our border.
I did not know that's where that was. I'd heard mental patient thing or whatever, like repeatedly, but I didn't, mm-hmm. I never put it together that the dubious kernel of truth behind that was that the people come here seeking asylum, and asylum is where insane people go. So it's like, yeah, they're emptying out insane asylums and sending them to America. That's hilarious.
I can't believe it's come up here before, but it's been years. So he just keeps confusing it. No one will fucking correct him. He just thinks that both words mean the same thing. Maria Corina Machado has so today, right-wing influencers were joking about whether or not Maduro will plead guilty to lesser charges in exchange for turning state's evidence on the cases about how Venezuela used satellites to hack Dominion voting machines to flip the election for Biden. Trump was reposting True Social stuff about that. He's not kidding. He still thinks one of the main reasons he wants to imprison / kill Nicolas Maduro is because he thinks they control the voting machines. This won the election to Biden. Maria Corina Machado, who was going to come up again, was affirming his belief that, yes, Venezuela had helped Joe Biden win the election and basically done a coup against Donald Trump. They delayed this whole fucking raid, by the way, because of airstrikes. We launched a bunch of Tomahawk missiles at Nigeria on Christmas Day, which we tend to do a lot of horrific shit on Christmas Day, as does Israel, because no one's paying attention, right? We had to delay 4 days. They had to go order earlier, but we were too busy bombing nothing in Nigeria. We just threw a bunch of fucking Tomahawk missiles at dirt. By the way, the loudest countries they're making noise of, getting back to all the stupid reasons this is going on, I keep bringing this up, but Honduras, Venezuela, Greenland, and Nigeria are the four premium targets for Peter Thiel and his network state movement for libertarian seasteading crypto cities. Mm-hmm. Those all seem to be the main reasons. But here's my favorite stupid guess at a fake bad one. If you got this one, here's Tucker Carlson from his show, I think today or last night.
Democracy as reason for affecting regime change in Venezuela. We're not going to go kill Nicolas Maduro because we don't like the way he's treating people. It's possible we're mad that he doesn't allow gay marriage. That is a distinct possibility, but no one will say that out loud.
Yeah.
What?
So I was trying to figure out, I went and looked it up. Maria Corina Machado is not some gay rights advocate, which it would, it's a very Catholic country and she's pretty right wing. It'd be very weird if she was. But apparently, Tucker Carlson thinks that Donald Trump and Marco Rubio teamed up with the CIA to overthrow the socialist dictator of Venezuela so they could have gay marriage.
That, if Kamala had won and then this still somehow happened, which, feels like that would be weird. But if that combination of things had happened, this is exactly the type of thing that I would expect Tucker Carlson and his ilk to say, because of how insane it sounds and what they think the left is. But it's we invaded this country because, we're mad at them for not allowing gay marriage. But with Trump and this crew in charge, it just seems completely insane. Gay people don't hit for them. They've made it pretty clear, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know where he's getting this. He's trying to find something to say about it that other people aren't saying, I guess, is the whole thing.
Yeah, well, you're always gonna have the take.
Yeah. So no one knows what is happening. Pretty much nothing happened, but also the world changed. And so it's the fucking weirdest thing. But here's Trump just winging it on Saturday afternoon, if you got this video map.
We're going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. So we don't want to be involved with having somebody else get in and we have the same situation that we had for the last year.
Who's in charge of Venezuela?
Right. And transitioning it to who,
Yeah. So whoever's going to be in charge of Venezuela, go ahead and raise your hand, I guess. Donald Trump's asking. Because, don't you have to usually defeat and occupy a country before you announce
it? I was about to say, do we have, a bunch of troops and stuff there
now? No! Nobody's there!
Okay. Yeah.
He just went on TV and declared we're doing a provisional authority. That's not how anything works. The government's still there. But also, hanging over all this, cancer research costs too much, but we have the money to run fucking Venezuela at a loss?
Yeah.
And, go back to what you're saying, how to make sense about this, because but the standards of American journalism, where you have to be impartial, lead to deeply hilarious results. Let me read this for you from an AP News alert from Caracas on Saturday afternoon. No visible signs yet that U.S. is running Venezuela after Trump claims, as country's security forces control key sites. They control the whole thing! The only thing they can do to disprove Donald Trump is to have somebody in Caracas go look around and see no Americans.
Right.
And like, so we're going to run fucking Venezuela. Who is we? Like, do we have troops in Miraflores Palace, which is their presidential palace, or anywhere else? No.
Do the people who are, I don't know, are there proxies there? Like for us, like stooges or something, you know, like they are Venezuelan, but that have, you know, bent the knee to the U.S. or something, and they're just going to do our bidding or some shit like that.
It's not totally clear, but also, yes, the vice president, and it's not like they kind of, I think they swore her in, but Maduro's not dead. I messed up something equivalent to the 25th Amendment. So vice president's name, Delcy Rodriguez, she's in de facto control, if not control. And so she's in charge, and she's making noise about, she made some defiant noises at first about we will never be a slave to outside forces. You got to remember, to a lot of Latin American governments, especially left-wing ones, the whole reason for their existence is to resist U.S. influence and occupation. So, like, there's no compromise with Trump where they still get to have, get to be a government. It doesn't make any sort of sense. But before we get to that, I want to, like, the whole... Trump seems to think he has an ideology other than just like, I grab it because I want it.
Right.
And he learned what someone taught Donald Trump 8th grade U.S. history over the weekend. And it might be the end of the fucking Western Hemisphere if you got this video clip, Matt.
All the way back dated to the Monroe Doctrines. And the Monroe Doctrine is a big deal. But we've superseded it by a lot. By a real lot.
With
the Donroe document, I don't know.
The Donroe document.
So they apparently got to get him on board with this by pointing out the Monroe Doctrine could easily be the Donroe Doctrine, like Donald, huh?
Right.
And he's like, okay, we're invading Venezuela.
Yeah, I've always wanted a doctrine. It'd be nice to have my own doctrine.
Like, the fact that 80-some people died in this, and this is the dumbest fucking thing, it's weird when you can be like, basically, well, when Donald Trump does something, it's basically not that bad if only 80 people die. So right. Far, fingers crossed. So, what now? Right?
Right.
You'd think that the administration would have an idea, but they don't seem to. And here's Chuck Schumer trying to make sense of this on ABC Sunday show yesterday.
In your view, who is running Venezuela right now? Nobody knows. The problem
is... All right. The reality is the same people are running Venezuela the day before, except we're pretending not.
Right.
But Chuck Schumer just say that. We just kidnapped a guy and we killed some people. But, like, the world kept turning. Garbage got picked up in Caracas. Like, so what? Like, so the Venezuelan opposition still exists here. The ones who, that the whole reason for doing this, the reason that we can say we can kidnap fucking Nicolas Maduro is because he's not actually head of state, he's an illegitimate president because he rigged the election. We left the rigged government in charge after using a justification for the fact that they have no authority to be there. So
I thought that the idea leading up to this whole time was that lady Machado or whatever was supposed to be our. That was our gal for this, I thought. Like, so if and when we did this, you just slide her in there. I thought that was, like, the whole idea with her in the first place.
Oh, she played herself, bro. He was asked about her. Like, he was asked who's going to be president, next president of Venezuela. And he said, not Maria Machado. He basically said that because he just doesn't like her.
Why? Because she won the Peace Prize instead of...
She won his Peace Prize. Yeah. It was in the Washington Post this morning. That's two sources so in the White House said that if she had turned down the Peace Prize and said she couldn't accept it because it rightfully belonged to Donald Trump, instead of what she did, which is accept it and said, I take this in Donald Trump's name, if she had done the first thing, she would be the next president of Venezuela, which would also be bad because she doesn't have public support like that. Anyway... Right. If you wonder if any part of this was like freedom and democracy, here's on Air Force One last night, Donald Trump was asked about the first steps toward any sort of like truth and reconciliation or like healing between the two sides or whatever, between the two Venezuelan opposition and the government. Here's a
go ahead. Now, are you going to demand that Delcy Rodriguez let opposition figures return or free any political prisoners?
We haven't gotten to that yet. Right now, what we want to do is fix up the oil, fix up the country, get the country back, and then have elections.
He was asked, basically, if Maria Machado...
Get the country back. Otherwise, you're just going to have a mess that's so bad.
Cut it. So he said, basically asked if he would ask Delcy Rodriguez to let Maria Machado come out of hiding, and he's like, no, we're there for the oil.
Right.
This is all so fucked. I'm trying to follow this logic, okay? Maduro was an illegitimate leader who lost in 2024, which is why we're replacing him with his own vice president instead of the person who won in 2024. We did this to stop fentanyl, which is why he's indicted for cocaine. We're also occupying Venezuela by simply adding their vice president to a White House Slack channel. That's basically what happened here.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this is also
just like a shoot first and ask questions later type of, operation from a government that operates that way in most everything they do, you know, seems like.
It's not even like shoot first, ask questions later. It's shoot first and also questions are gay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like they didn't have a plan. They didn't have a plan to make a plan.
Right.
So like
right.
Saturday afternoon, Trump announced they were going to assemble an interim government, right? But Saturday night, Rubio was saying that the U.S. won't govern Venezuela, but will press changes to an oil blockade, but basically they'll use to pressure Delcy Rodriguez to do whatever they want. So if you're keeping score, this has happened unfold over about 18 hours. One, we've conquered Venezuela and are installing democracy. Two, we aren't installing democracy, but we're planning a transition government. Three, no, we aren't. Four, it's the same government, but one less guy works there. So this brings us to Delcy Rodriguez, okay? The plan seems to be for Delcy Rodriguez to report to Marco Rubio or Stephen Miller, but no one asked her, or did they? Here's the thing. Let's go back to this letter from October in the Miami Herald. Vice President Delcy Rodriguez and her brother Jorge have quietly promoted a series of initiatives in recent months aimed at presenting themselves to Washington as a, quote, more acceptable alternative to Maduro, according to people with direct knowledge of the talks. Basically, Qatar acts as an intermediary to negotiate between Venezuela and the Trump administration for Delcy Rodriguez to become president and Nicolas Maduro to resign and still stay in Venezuela, but out of power. Now, the second part of that apparently did not hit for Donald Trump. But the first part of it seemed to have been fine. And as a person who just doesn't want to see chaos and death and destruction and civil war in the world, like, Venezuela's kind of a powder keg. There's a lot of different factions here. There are two different vice presidents. The more powerful guy is the vice president of the party. He has more control of the military. So Delcy, it's not even clear how precarious Delcy Rodriguez's position is here. As for the opposition, totally fucked. Maria Machado, like I said, played herself. Let me quote here from The Economist. Venezuelans at celebration parties in Miami could not believe it, insisting that Trump had misspoken. His plan appears to be for Venezuela to remain under the day-to-day rule of a senior Chavista, with its democratically elected leaders excluded and its wealth controlled by American corporations. Wow! Who would have thought?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that does sound pretty ideal for us, that last part.
Yeah, who did you think Donald Trump was?
Right.
He doesn't care about American fucking democracy. Why would he care about Venezuelan? What if the people of Venezuela vote to not give the oil to Exxon? Then what?
Right.
There's historically a reason why we don't we don't let this shit lie. So I was like surfing over the internet and I found this guy, hardcore like Venezuelan opposition guy on Twitter who was live tweeting the whole military. I stayed up all night live tweeting the military operation, the next day's fallout, yada, yada, yada. This happened Friday night, right? By midday Saturday, he had changed his profile picture to a fell for it again award. Oh.
Well, at least he had some self-awareness about it, I guess.
Yeah. And I mentioned, I already mentioned the Peace Prize thing, but yeah, two people close to the White House said the president's lack of interest in boosting Machado, despite her recent efforts to flatter Trump, stemmed from her decision to accept the Nobel Peace Prize, an award the president has openly coveted. Whatever they're up to here, dude, and I think it all is pretty much on the surface level at this point. Like, all you got to do is spend 10 minutes, like, Googling and you'll figure it out. They want oil. It's not necessarily going to go well. But yeah, they're walking a dangerous line here. America ran a war game during Trump 1.0 to assess what Maduro's fall might unleash, and it found that chaos and violence would likely erupt as military units, rival political factions, and even jungle-based guerrilla groups jockeyed for control. The border between Venezuela and Colombia is basically controlled by armed cocaine militias and separatist groups. I think that's where you got to go get the oil from.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They got the drugs too.
Yeah, that's where the drug. Well, I mean, that's where the drugs are.
They control where the drugs come through. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So as far as the operation itself, I mentioned there are 80 people dead, including at least one sleeping old lady. We blew up an apartment building somehow. Cuba State News Agency reported late Sunday that 32 Cuban security personnel were killed in direct combat with Delta Force. So the whole thing happened under a full moon. And like as a amateur, like I like to follow the amoral like military blogger guys about like operational guys. I just like proficiency porn stuff. And they were utterly shocked that it was happening under a full moon. I never thought about moons so much in my life.
Right. But, yeah, because that's too bright to do that normally.
Yeah, one of her big advantages is night vision capabilities.
Right.
And better sensors and stuff. So, like, yeah. But the opposition was saying it was a negotiated surrender, which I guess it partially was if Delcia is actually a CIA plant. But but we still killed a bunch of people, I guess, for theater, for Trump's TV show. And the negotiated surrender thing did make sense at first because they took Maduro's wife. I know she's indicted, too, but there's no real geopolitical reason to, like, kidnap the guy's wife.
Right. I was wondering that. Yeah. What's that about?
Well, if it's negotiated, be like, well, I'm going to live in exile. I'll take my wife with me. Right. I mean, yeah. Right. Like, so, yeah. So, but apparently I have no idea who's leaking all this stuff, but the fact we all know it was Delta Force is pretty new because Delta Force is usually not in the newspaper.
Uh huh.
It would usually just say like elements of special forces or something. They don't even acknowledge. They don't acknowledge that Delta Force exists.
Right.
Except now we did, and now not only is that in the newspaper, but there's reporting. They put this in several publications. The CIA followed Maduro for months. They had people on the ground in Caracas since August tracking his movements, so we know where he'd be. We wanted to take him. They also said that someone close to Maduro was an informant. They're also hinting that was Delcy Rodriguez. She's probably not long for this world if anybody feels like killing her down there. It's also deeply funny because one of the criticisms of Maduro, one of the reasons he was authoritarian, people said he was too paranoid for seeing conspiracies all around him. And then his vice president snitches on him. We kill Cuban security detail. Trump also, like the lights in Caracas went out right during the raid. And it wasn't clear whether we had a power plant or whatever, but Trump basically came out and said it was cyber warfare, which is like, no one knew we had the capability to turn the lights off in a foreign nation's capital city. I would have guessed that. But anyway, we blew the existence of stealth helicopters to capture bin Laden. We blew the existence of like 5 or 6 different things.
Right. For no one can tell what. Yeah.
Right. And so I like to know about this stuff because I'm interested in it, but if I'm a guy who works at the CIA right now, I'm pulling my fucking hair out. So yeah, our problem is like this operation, as far as anyone knows, not a single casualty or loss of equipment. This is way too easy for them. They seem to be gassed up by the quote unquote success of it, the tactical success, which is why since it happened, they've also threatened to decapitation strikes against Mexico, Greenland, Cuba, Iran, and Colombia.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking when you said like, oh, we blew up, we, you know, exposed the existence of all these top secret things we should have kept in our back pocket or whatever. But with these people in charge, it feels like it's like that their attitude about that would be like, no, but it's fucking super rad. And so we should like show it off to everybody. And then once they do it and they don't get raked too hard for it or whatever, and it goes super well and whatnot. And then, you know, they're just going to get all gassed up and be like, you know, fuck yeah, bro. And just keep, you know, keep on trucking with it. Perfectly in character for them.
Whatever CIA assets or Green Berets were on the ground following like Maduro around Caracas, were they even out of the country yet before we revealed they were there? Because if not, the CIA headquarters might be getting some more stars on its wall.
Right.
The only thing that might save us from this is like I'm utterly shocked and I'm proud of my fellow Americans. This is polling horribly.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't know if it's because of how the Iraq war turned out and yada yada or whatever else, but I feel like there was such a huge contingent of people that were like voting for Trump in the last election who were like part of their stated reason was ostensibly because he's the no war guy, the isolationist thing and not going to war and shit like that. And then they were mad at him with the Iran stuff and stuff. So it's like, I feel like there's been an element of the right that has, you know, again, shifted so far towards isolationism or whatever it is, but they're not as hawky as they like used to be, where anytime, you know, we fire up the war machine, people start waving the flags. Fuck yeah. Hoorah. Feels like they've backed off of that. And of course, not all of them, but like a contingent of them have chilled with that in favor of like, no, fuck the rest of the world. America only. What, you know, don't spend our money on this shit kind of thing.
For sure. But like, but like, I know that like people get things confused, but like when Trump was not actually saying we shouldn't have foreign wars, Trump was saying we should bomb, steal stuff and get out. Right.
Right.
He was saying we shouldn't go to wars for something as nefarious and soft headed and, you know, and liberal and queer as democracy. We should have taken the oil out of Iraq and fucking left, right? Uh-huh. Which, so that's essentially what he's done in Venezuela. And so, like, but I thought just the raid itself on just a dude's rock level was pretty, I mean, like, I can't even think of something, like comparative. It's like we combined the Mogadishu raid, the Black Hawk Down raid, where nothing went wrong, combined with, like, the first night of, like the dialed down version of, like, shock and awe strikes on the invasion, when we started the invasion of Iraq or something. It was pretty, like, The fact that it was pulled off and everybody got out unscathed, I mean, Americans got out unscathed, was pretty, just on a, again, it's pretty ninja, to quote Alan Zeta Skarsgård in Generation Kill. I was shocked that, like, I mean, the polling data I'm referring to, I saw earlier, was 42% approve, 42% disapprove, 21% approve, 29% not sure. Not sure is 8 points ahead of approve. Mm-hmm. So, like, just like killing some foreigners to capture a drug dealer, which is the official story. You'd think that'd be at least above water,
right?
No, yeah. Anyway, that might be the only thing to say is that people fucking hate this shit. So thank God people hate it. But they did. They didn't have fun play acting as like commanders of the world. So, though, if you're deep in like the lore, everybody remembers that the White House Correspondents' Dinner was the night before. It was the same night as the Bin Laden raid. The day before it was announced he was killed. Where President Obama roasted the shit out of Donald Trump, and then the next guy got the White House got the White House Situation Room photos where he was watching the Bin Laden raid and basically assured his second term election. Everyone thought it was super cool. So
I remembered all that except for the Correspondents' Dinner. But when you said earlier that Donald Trump said, "I watched it all like you watch a TV show," like on the, I immediately thought of that picture of Obama, during the Bin Laden raid or whatever. But I didn't know that it was as clear cut as all that. I'd completely forgotten that it was the infamous night, you know, when he spurned Trump. So
he tried to restage the same photo with his makeshift Situation Room at Mar-a-Lago, where the Wi-Fi has already been hacked by every intelligence agency on the planet. And anyway, here's a picture. You want to throw it up here, Matt? The first one. So that's Hegseth Rubio. On the background, that's Twitter.
Oh,
they got that's Twitter. Hilarious. Yeah, they got Twitter up doing these search of Venezuela and looking for people's live tweets and reactions. If you're wondering if this has any practical purpose other than seeing if people are cheering for Donald Trump, no. There are people monitoring social media for like open source intelligence reasons. Like you don't need to, the president does not need to see live like numbers on, you know, mission progress. It'd be like, sir, the MAGA autist has replied to cat turd with the pig pooping on balls emoji and Bron J's pervert is siding with cat turd, sir, over and out. Like, given what this sort of looks like now, where some part of the Venezuelan government was cooperative in this, although I don't think Maduro was, if Trump had framed this from the beginning as elements of Venezuela's regime acted with their assistance to remove Maduro as a roadblock to resolving the crisis, the whole thing could have come across as a decent-sized win without the baggage of kidnapping and just running crazy and bombing a fucking civilian population. But instead, Trump wanted his Zero Dark 30 moments. They had to make the action sequence for him for the TV show, right? He also, if you're trying to like rebuild relations with the country moving forward, he did this while a Chinese delegation was in Caracas to show support for the government, and they bombed Hugo Chavez's mausoleum for no reason.
Right. Chavez, well, just to dunk on that comedy shit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And like you want,
fucking give communism the old suck it, fucking
right,
in the form of a bunker buster.
If you're wondering, there's no strategic value to Hugo Chavez's mausoleum,
right?
And this is so funny. Like, so not while we're pretending there are laws and we still have a constitution that hopefully when Rende returned to Senator Mike Lee of Utah on Saturday morning was like doing his whole constitutional sort of thing. It was like, I'd like to see what the president's constitutional justification is for acting without Congress. And then it took him like 2 hours later to completely be cowed. He said, quote, this action likely falls within the president's inherent authority under Article 2 of the Constitution to protect U.S. personnel from an actual or imminent attack. To protect U.S. personnel from an imminent attack. So the legal justification the White House is giving for invading Venezuela is that it was necessary to protect troops that are in harm's way, who are in harm's way because they were being shot at while invading Venezuela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Still being shot at, Mark, you know.
Yeah, it is true. They're probably being shot at. So, yes, it just... I don't know, man. Open up your hymnals and turn to Catch 22. So, Trump, of course, is saying this is about oil. And I mean, like, just openly saying this is all about oil. Every question he gets asked turns back to oil. So, if you got this video, Matt.
Large United States oil companies, the biggest anywhere in the world, go in, spend billions of dollars, fix the badly broken infrastructure, the oil infrastructure, and start making money for the country. And we are ready to stage a second and much larger attack if we need to do so.
You don't give us the oil. All right, you got it, Matt. So, critics, travel back in time with me for a little bit. Critics used to denounce U.S. wars as imperialist schemes to seize foreign oil, while the president would insist they were attempts to spread democracy.
Yeah, right.
Now, critics denounce such wars as attempts to spread democracy, while the president insists they are really imperialist schemes to seize foreign oil.
Yeah, it's kind of perfect in that. Well, I thought that earlier when he showed that one clip of him, he mentioned the oil or whatever, and I was like, that's what I thought. I was like, man, this used to be, but there's so many examples of that where it's like, they just the whole idea of they used to have the, so much of it is not really changed, it, except for that they used to have the decency to like try to lie about it, you know, and now they've just totally cast that aside and, you know, just where, you know, say the quiet part out loud with their chest puffed out and foot filled with pride, like all the time. And it's pretty wild. Right. It's like, don't you realize that that's fucked up and they're, you know, but they don't get penalized for it, from their, supporters or anything like that. They just get further emboldened. So fucking why not, I guess.
Bro, I'm not his advisor, but like I do want to point out there's a reason politicians lead with the freedom and every and God-given right to control your own destiny kind of stuff. It's because it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
Making 20 more bucks for a billionaire guy who owns a fucking oil company is not really that moving for the troops. Like if you listen to like a football halftime speech or a post-game speech, it's always like fight for the man next to you. Football is a game of inches. It's not. Guys, if we win tonight, we might get free shoes. Uh-huh. God. So, this is an example. All example of like we talk about our gerontocracy. It's not just like it's everybody. All our politicians' brains are stuck in the 1980s. Whether it's Joe Biden thinking he couldn't like have a political career without Israel, or Trump thinking that we need to grab oil. The same day this raid was happening, Chinese auto company rolled out a new EV, a luxury SUV electric vehicle with a brand new next generation battery for $9,000.
Right.
We're invading Venezuela to get oil.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a Bloomberg News report from the same day. Wall Street's biggest banks made more money financing green projects than they did from working with fossil fuel companies for a fourth straight year.
Okay, even then what is going on here then? I don't get that. My whole life has been built around just, yeah, well, it's all about the money at the end of the day in this country. And as long as the fat cats get fatter and all that, then that's all it really comes down to in the end. But if they're now making more money from hippie shit,
mm-hmm.
why still the opposition to hippie shit, you know, like
inertia,
right?
Like it's just like the oil industry is so entrenched and our national security infrastructure and our government that, like, they're going to make sure that they make every last dime off every ground of drop of fossil fuel that's in the ground before they allow the rest of us to move on in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And it's destructive. And Exxon owns wind farms. They could just pivot. I understand, like, I'm not naive. I understand that we still need fossil fuels to a certain degree, but we should be trying to do something besides invading Venezuela for oil. But here's the real punchline to this. Like, nobody wants Venezuela's oil. I didn't realize that. Trump's like, he's operating purely on a fantasy level. He's like, the one guy who does win out of this is Trump has a huge campaign donor, but they have a Paul Singer who won a lawsuit, but kind of lost because he was forced to take like a controlling interest in Citgo, which is the oil company that handles most of Venezuela's oil reserves. And now that'll be paid off by tenfold. So congrats to Paul Singer. But the rest of the oil companies are like, we don't want Venezuela's oil. Let me read here. Administration officials have told oil executives they must be prepared to go back into Venezuela now and invest heavily in reviving its shattered petroleum industry. But people in the industry said the administration's message has left them still leery about the difficulty of rebuilding decayed oil fields in a country where it's not even clear who will lead the country for the foreseeable future. The country has some of the largest oil reserves in the world, but its petroleum infrastructure has decayed amid years of mismanagement and meager investment. None of the companies want this job, basically. It's not just because the infrastructure sucks and the political situation's unstable. Venezuelan oil, I'm not, you probably get more factual information about watching Landman than you'll get from me on this, but like oil comes in different kinds, like whether it's light or heavy and sweet or sour. Venezuelan oil is like one of the hardest types to refine, I guess. And it costs more, and it would take like something like $100 billion in 20 years to be able to like get oil pumping again out of Venezuela at the refined level would be useful to the rest of the world. Also, another thing that changed during the Obama administration and hasn't really processed in the conservative mind, America's now a net exporter of oil.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've heard that before, too. Like, whenever the argument comes up about oil and wars and stuff like that, and people point out that what you just said, which I also didn't realize, and I feel like most people don't, I don't think, realize that.
Yeah, the shale oil in the Permian Basin is apparently way easier to get out of the ground than Venezuela's oil. So we all, there's also part of this that I didn't realize this, like we all got taken, we all got fooled by Hugo Chavez a little bit. It's not that Venezuela doesn't have oil, but the whole thing that's often repeated about Venezuela having more oil than Saudi Arabia, which I've repeated on this show, is based upon an OPEC report that is sourced to the Venezuelan government back when Hugo Chavez's government was saying they discovered all these oil reserves outside to solicit outside investment. So I'm not saying it's totally untrue. I'm saying it's a sales job. And so I got taken by it. Trump got taken by it. Apparently, Nicolas Maduro lost his freedom over it. But yeah, right now the U.S. produces about 13 million barrels of oil per day, and Venezuela produces less than 1 million barrels per day. And right now, U.S. oil prices are at $57 a barrel, which is the lowest since the end of the pandemic. There's a global oil glut with lower prices, which is bad for U.S. producers who need higher prices to break even. So basically, we just started a war for oil. We stayed as a war for oil when oil futures are traded at Texans sitting at the garage with in the garage with the car running levels. They do not want more oil. They want the price to go back up. They're stopping pumping it out of the ground until there's more value in it. This is stupid.
Yeah. It's like shitty infrastructure to obtain a resource in a like declining industry positioned in a country that's falling apart because of us and is an uncertain at best future. So like if you're a oil guy for one of these companies, like no one's lining up for that that job, you know, that position, having to go there and figure all that out when there's nowhere to put it or nothing to do with it anyway, because we have too much as it stands. So
I swear to God, Trump's going to binge watch Landman and try to draft the Landman to go to Venezuela.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to be like, sir, it's not exactly a real job like that. So let's talk about the indictments for a second, because remember, if we travel time traveling back a week, the whole point of this was Nicolas Maduro is a huge drug cartel leader. So we charged him with narco-terrorism conspiracy, which whoever invented the word narco-terrorism can burn in hell. Narco-terrorism conspiracy, cocaine importation conspiracy, possession of machine guns and destructive devices, and conspiracy to possess machine guns and destructive devices against the United States. No fentanyl was mentioned in the indictment, obviously.
Yeah.
How is it illegal for Nicolas Maduro to have a machine gun in Venezuela?
I was just about to say, like, because that's I was doing a Patreon thing before we got on here, and I was reading an article about the charges in court, and I read those exact charges you just read, and I was like, it feels very American to like charge the leader of another country with the crime of possessing machine guns and destructive devices when it's like. Mm-hmm. Don't they all have those? Like any leader of just about any country? That's like part of the job description, I feel like. If you're going to be the leader of a country, somewhere around there's going to be some machine guns that you at least indirectly own, you know, and also destructive devices, you know. It's like you need those things if you're going to do leading a country stuff. But it's funny to be like, but you can't do it against us, or if we just say you can't. Which I guess is how we kind of operate with everything. It's only okay if we say you can do it. Otherwise, we'll bomb you and shit.
So, like, a federal appeals court basically just canceled all of California's, like, anti-open carry laws because everybody in America has a constitutional right to carry a gun into an elementary school, I guess, if they want. But the Venezuelan army has no Second Amendment rights. So I just feel like the whole thing, one of the main reasons I think this is polling so unpopular is like, we weren't even properly lied to about the purposes of this war. Like, they didn't even lube us up for the generationally fucked us.
Right. Like, with the Iraq, and I know this isn't on the level of Iraq, you know, yet at least, but like, that was like weeks and months, I feel like, in my memory of, you know, of it being pitched to us, the American people, and to, like, you know, talking about it and the idea of them having WMDs and all that stuff and the reasons we have to do it and all that. I remember having debates about it in my high school classrooms and shit. But with this, I, you know, all I've heard about it has come from you on this show in various forms over the weeks leading up to it. And it's, you know, and usually when you talk about it, it's in the context of like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. And so, you know, I don't know what the pitch is even supposed to be.
We've got this come up before, but like, if you follow the stupidest conservative influencers, you have your finger more on the pulse of what the Trump administration is going to do than if you follow like the New York Times. Right.
Uh-huh.
So like that's why the weeks leading up to January 6th, you and I were like, this is going to be crazy. Is anybody going to fucking do anything? And then the FBI was like, wait, what's going on the day? Yeah. It's like you guys are getting your news from the wrong places. So like here's a like the only people like while they're going on TV and saying we're taking the oil, we're going to pretend that Nicolas Maduro is a drug trafficker to invade. Like, it's like, let's watch this clip from Seth Moulton, Congressman Seth Moulton here.
We had briefings on Venezuela. We asked, are you going to invade the country? We were told no. Do you plan to put troops on the ground in Venezuela? We were told no. You intend regime change in Venezuela? We were told no. So in a sense,
They told the oil companies before ahead of time to get their ducks in a row to be ready to fucking go get the oil. They told Wall Street on time because stocks moved. There were people betting on pie market on the invasion, so that leaked. They told us we're taking the oil. The only people they lied to about this were fucking Congress. That's not how this is supposed to work. You're supposed to be honest with Congress and lie to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
The world, the reaction from other global leaders has been less than inspiring. Basically, the UK government, it just kissed Trump's ass, even though they have territories in the Caribbean, and the stabilization there would fuck them too. There was a chat show clip I watched earlier this morning where somebody worked for the Starmer administration, they're called administration there, works for 10 Downing or whatever you want to put it. He was asked about, because Trump's still threatening to invade Greenland, he's ramped that up. And the woman asked the guy if he would denounce it. And he says, well, we're not going to denounce hypotheticals. He's like, why don't you speak out against it? And he's like, oh, well, he just mealy mouthed it. They won't clearly state the United States should not seize Greenland, which is part of Denmark, who is a NATO ally. Technically speaking, if we seize Greenland, that should cause war to break out between us and NATO, even though we're in NATO.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think, I don't know. They are just like cowards, but I feel like it's also a specific type of cowardice where it's like, they're like, well, if I say no, they can't do that, then he'll get all fired up and pissy and want to do it even more. So if I just like we'll just all keep telling ourselves he won't do these crazy things and just hope that it doesn't happen. And then when the crazy things do happen, they're like, oh, shit. That's crazy.
Well, they should move. I mean, like I saw some European leaders saying they should act quickly to build a military base on Greenland. So at least like there'll be like a deterrent there. Like you can't say we're not defending Greenland enough when you got troops there. We, of course, we have troops there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right, so we've been testing my fire alarm today. We're trying to squeeze this in while they're on a lunch break, but this is just apartment living. So I have to wrap this up quickly, but I just want to say that the fact that Marine Le Pen, the French fascist, the leader of the French fascist party, for lack of a better way to put it, was the only person to put out the strongest statement here because she's a nationalist and be like, you shouldn't be fucking with other countries, is depressing because there are other principles here outside of this. Nayib Bukele, president of El Salvador, quote tweeted Chris Van Hollen, senator from Maryland, who was complaining about this, being like, oh, so you just want to defend thugs? And I want to say, Bukele, think for a second. If President Chris Van Hollen orders Delta Force to seize you in 6 years, what would you like the rules to be? Because I personally have no moral objection to Delta Force taking Nayib Bukele. All right.
All right. We'll shut it down now since that stuff. So, yeah, just so y'all know, Mark told us they're doing maintenance on his fire alarms, smoke alarms. We tried to fit it in while they were on their lunch break, and we almost got there. We got like 51 minutes, but we've been headed off at the pass by the maintenance people over there. But, you know, they were doing good before smoke started coming out of Mark's ears anyway, and then that would cause the whole system to go haywire. Am I right?
Am I right?
Thanks. I'm here all week. Okay. Go to treycrowder.com and check out upcoming tour dates. Listen to Matt's Good Skews. Support the show on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more. Just go on Patreon and search for my and search for my name. Either way works. But yeah, thanks for watching this slightly abbreviated first episode of 2026. Onward. Thanks for being here. See you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew. Yep.